to make them squirm. That's what our readers want.
I want to see Hassan Reddick come in fully motivated on Wednesday and beating people to a pulp.
As much as I love Ira, and I do love Ira, I'm not coaching to please Ira.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. Training camp week. Ira, did you ever think that you were going to be attending 2025 training camp with your towel sweating like a beast?
OTB, baby, on the brink. On the brink of training camp.
OTB, isn't it a horse track?
It is a horse track. Remember that? They used to bet on the horses in New York.
They had a bunch of those in Chicago, OTBs.
There's no better time than on the brink of training camp. Hope springs eternal. Well, nobody's got a loss, and injuries are minimal, including Tristan Wirfs.
You hope,
Well, Ari, you are the water damage whisperer.
Yes, I am.
Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, famous man sitting here with me. I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here.
I'm irritated.
And he's irritated. And Freedom Summer is at Bill Curry Ford right now. Ira, you've got opportunities at Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's family-owned first family of Ford dealership. 0% APR plus zero down, zero payments for 90 days, and complimentary maintenance.
I'm hearing a lot of zeros over there, Steve.
That's a lot of zeros. That's like a whole front line of Yaya Diaby right there. Complimentary maintenance on top of all that. That's their summer sales event. It's going on now. Got to get to BillCurryFord.com. Don't worry. Drive Curry. You can shop transparent pricing right on their website. If you don't like typing it in, you can find it when you're at JoeBucksFan.com. It's super easy. And they've got Ford-certified gold pre-owned models, 4.9% for 72 months, all kinds of incredible financing situations. And, of course, their stellar service, biggest service.
Service is incomparable. Incomparable.
Biggest service bay in Florida by far. And they've got mobile service at your home. They'll send the van out. And you know what? They'll pick up your vehicle, bring it back free. No extra charge to get it serviced.
Or a loaner vehicle for you.
It's unbelievable. 100 loaner vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. We all have Bill Curry Ford vehicles. And you need one, too. Don't wait. Do not wait.
We're all driving Bill Curry vehicles, right? The three of us. Yes, we are.
My 2017 is starting to fall apart, Ira. Starting to fall apart.
It's time to take advantage of those offers, Steve.
It may be. As we told fans on our website, we've got Todd Bowles on the podcast coming up. We're recording this at Hooters, a good friend up the road. We're going to be in Bowles' office or somewhere.
We're going to be in his grill. That's what we're going to be.
I'm not irritated about that.
Lee's irritated.
I'm irritated.
Perhaps Lee's irritated because he has mold, and maybe he's got to call Florida's Elite Restoration, because that's who you call, Florida's Elite Restoration, if you have any sign of mold, storm damage, water damage, fire. You call them immediately, so they will work and be on your side to not only restore your property, they can repair and replace everything as well.
They know the games that the insurance companies play.
25-plus years of insurance experience on that side of the business. You call them first so you don't get ripped off. You need an offensive coordinator for your claim, maybe a defensive coordinator. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call. And if you need their service after a free inspection at your property with great technology and experts coming out, if you need their service, they'll give you $500 back. And all you got to do is mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira when you first call. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Lee, why are you pissed off?
Okay, this is why I'm irritated. It has nothing to do with Bowles. Kay Adams' show is on. They got a split. And I'm not irritated about her in any way. But they got a split screen, and on the other screen, they got her dopey producer. Nobody wants to look at that dope.
Get off my TV. You want a full screen of Adams.
Everybody wants a full screen of Adams.
Get that ass off my TV. I thought you were pissed off because you've been flying recently. You've been out of town, and you had some problems flying because everybody got their own crazy stories about
screw-ups. No, I had no problems. I had no problems flying. I had a great time. Finally, I saw a near meltdown in an airport. You always see these videos, people melting down.
Somebody threw down in the airport?
No. You see all these videos of people going bananas in airports.
On the plane?
On the plane, in the gate, whatever. And I almost saw one yesterday for the first time. Some woman, I guess, was denied flying. She got into it with the gate people. They said they were going to put her on a no-fly list, and she freaked out. And I thought it was going to explode. I got one quick video.
Was it because of what she was wearing?
No clue. I have no idea. I just saw her explode. I thought, here we go, finally. And after a while, she went away crying. I want to go home.
Well, if it was a clothing problem, you would have had a sweater in your bag, and you would have offered to put the sweater around her. Lee, you're that type of person.
Depends what she looks like. It was Kay Adams, of course.
I understand.
I would comfort her.
So, Ira, look, are you excited to...
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to 96-degree heat this week, because in the middle of the week, we are going to have the first practice, Steve. It's not going to be padded, but it's football. It is football.
Underwear football.
Underwear football. We want to make sure everybody's there.
I was talking about interviewing Todd Bowles. You're talking about sweating
Todd
on Wednesday.
Bowles. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because he's a straight shooter. And I got a couple of questions to make him squirm. That's what our readers want.
Well, and we appreciate Coach.
And by the way, congratulations to you two Nudniks on 60,000 posts since this venture has launched in 2008.
It shows you what kind of life we have.
They said this thing wasn't going to last 6 months.
And who's they?
And here you are 17 years later.
The people that are no longer sports writers and are out of the business.
And I read all the comments. I figured a couple of guys are going to mention, hey, great job bringing Ira aboard 9 years ago. My name wasn't in any comments, gentlemen. No comments.
Well, I did mention your handmaidens that we employ.
Yeah, I saw that.
That take care of you. So
this is year 9 for me, Steve. I mean, I think I've already had my anniversary. Maybe.
No, not yet.
Not yet.
We're not official yet.
And a birthday next month.
Birthday it's big month for Ira.
Ira, did you watch that breakdown of Simeon Rice with Yaya Diaby, that video, the two of them together?
I saw a little part of it. A
little bit?
Simeon was giving him some good tips there. I saw it.
You got to watch that whole thing. That may be the best thing.
17 minutes or something.
It may be the best thing the Bucks have ever produced.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Including Simeon Rice saying that he ran a 4.37 40-yard dash, which I had to look that up. There's no evidence or any sort of idea that he ran close to that.
It's amazing what some people – I was talking to a guy the other day. He goes, I was also – he's a real good tennis player. And he goes, I was also a good bowler up in upstate New York years and years ago. I go,
Earl Anthony.
I go, did you have a big hook? Oh, yeah, big hook. He goes, I had a 280 average. I said, you didn't have a 280 average. 280 average, you're on the bowling of the week on ABA.
With Chris Schenkel.
I mean, well, what do these people think? We're crazy? Nobody has a 280 average.
Yeah, of course not.
Dick Weber? So you got to take some of these things with a grain of salt. And, you know, I've talked to Simeon many times over the years. He would say things to me like, no, nobody's done what I've done on a football field. Nobody. Bruce Smith, nobody. They couldn't stop me. I'm the most unstoppable edge rusher that this game's ever seen.
Deacon
he
Jones.
Says things like that. So what am I supposed to do?
Well, you got to see the coaching. He did talk to Diaby about being unapologetic in his confidence.
Was Diaby very receptive?
He was very receptive. It also, what kind of scared me is that it really looked like Diaby, some of these things that Rice was showing him and really detailing very well. You know, like for
I
the average guy.
Hands out there or something.
Well,
like
you have to watch the whole thing. A lot of interesting coaching, but it was as if Diaby never heard these things before.
I would not be surprised.
That kind of threw me back a little bit. That's something I want to ask Todd Bowles. Has he watched that video? If he hasn't, then we'll skip it.
But what happens if Bowles says he's never heard those things before?
I don't know. But it was really interesting, and you know, and it helps that Rice is in A-list condition, you know, and he obviously looks like he'd love coaching, and he told Diaby, call me anytime, I'm here for you, I'd love to work with you.
Looking for the weeds in a beautiful flower, a beautiful...
What flower?
A beautiful Simeon Rice story, and you're looking for weeds. I'm not sure nobody's ever told
me. I watched that video, I was out of town.
I never heard of a 6'5", a DN running a 4.37 40, so I had to look that up.
Did Rice tower over Diaby, or what was the size difference? Was it pronounced?
Well, I mean, Diaby looks hulking next to Rice, who's probably 6'5", 205.
Yeah, he sheds some.
You know, he's just lean. But I thought he made a couple of basketball references that may have gone over Diaby's head, but I'm just speculating. It was great stuff. You got to watch it.
Is he going to be at training camp? Is Gruden going to be at training camp?
I don't know. I don't know. We're going to find out.
Oh, by the way, Lee, I got the date for moving the chains. The boys are coming. August 7th.
August 7th.
I believe it's a practice session against Tennessee.
Oh, that's smart.
And they're coming in.
All right, Ira, look, Levante David, he sat down with CBS in studio for a 20-minute interview. And
he's been making the rounds, Lee. Levante David's made the rounds.
And, you know, they're based in South Florida. He lives in South Florida a lot in the off season. That's where he's from. And he's got his this little love thing going with Pete Prisco.
Jordan wasn't with him?
No.
No Jordan.
No, different host. Not Jordan.
Jenny Dell?
No.
And unfortunately for Levante, Pete Prisco does not have a Hall of Fame vote, but I do.
He does not. Exactly. Know your place, Prisco. Know your place. You went right to the Hall of Fame, so I'll go there. David basically said, yeah, I'm a Hall of Famer, and I really wasn't into studying that until people kept throwing that in my face.
Wow.
And you know what? I'm a Hall of Famer, and I believe I am. It's sort of a switch from his, you know, super humble mentality.
Yeah. Of course, he's been prodded so much about it. Prodded.
And Derek Brooks had a chat with Mike Evans for that series the Bucks are doing with the old legends. And he talked to Evans about, you know, I see you and Canton and another guy, too. He didn't mention him because it was about Evans. But Your thoughts?
Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I was fairly skeptical about number 54. The numbers are staggering.
Yeah, the numbers are catching
up. They're staggering, yeah. As they were for Rondé Barber. Mm-hmm. Now, it took him 3 years as a finalist to make it, and it could very well take David 3, 4, 5 years, whatever.
Yeah.
Now, some Buck fans think he was better than Keekly. I'm not going that far. At their best, I still think you take Keekly. That's no knock on Lavonte David. Keekly was a defensive player of the year.
He was. I thought Lavonte did more than Keekly. He was more diverse.
But the numbers are incontrovertible. How do you like that one, Lee? Incontrovertible. And I hope I'm still around to make the presentation because, Lee, he might play another year or two, and he's got to be retired 5 years.
See how he's angling for another raise?
So now I'm going to be in my 90s, Steve. I mean, come on.
90s. He did hint at playing two more years at the end of
the Lavonte did, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He hinted at that. And if
Servassier Dennis is healthy and he's a player, that might extend Lavonte's career because he's going to enjoy playing more.
That could. No, I got to be up front. I think Servassier's a player. I think it's a whole other animal. That guy stayed on the field.
Absolutely.
Steve, what do you both of you guys, real quick, what's your expectation? How many games Servassier Dennis play? And if that would be considered a plus? I say if he makes 10 games, that's a plus.
I think that's a little low, Lee. I want a young player to play 14 or 15 games.
Oh, do I want him to? Absolutely. But what do you expect? I mean, I want to come home to Kay Adams. That ain't going to happen.
We're not talking fantasy football yet. My understanding is he's over a shoulder issue, Steve. He's over it.
If I have to answer Lee's question directly, I'd say I figure he'll miss a four-game stretch at some point with something because he's been injury-prone and maybe one other game. So I'll say 12. 12 games healthy, not like nonsense healthy, like 12 games healthy.
I'll tell you what, Todd Bowles, he can't wait to craft a game plan with a healthy Servassier Dennis. I'm serious.
He's
putting a lot of stock in him.
Mm-hmm. Well, when he has been on the field, he's made plays. There's no denying that.
That's one thing I want to ask. Bowles coming up, I don't know if we'll get to it, because we got a long list of questions. Ira's got the encyclopedia out here of questions. So Mike Evans, in the games he played last year, he averaged about 47 snaps a game. The year before, he averaged about 50 snaps a game.
Okay.
The year before that, 2022, he averaged 61 snaps a game. So his usage has been dropping. They're preserving him, if you will.
We should not be surprised, Lee.
But no, he's 32.
I would like to see that done with Lavonte David. Can't you somehow shave 50 snaps off this guy so he's got more juice for the playoffs?
So who are you going to put in? Walker?
Bingo.
Deion Jones?
Bingo.
Well, they never take him out. And there are games that the Bucs have locked up, the games the Bucs are blowing out.
I don't think Bowles trusts his defense without Lavonte David being on the field right now.
That's fair.
He's Bowles on the field.
I think it's also fair to say that inside linebacker, outside Lavonte David, well, the whole linebackers, major question mark. So you take Lavonte out, that's a big bite. If Servassier Dennis can stay on the field, or if Devin White panned out, then you could have taken
Lavonte
out.
Who knows a Bulls defense better than Lavonte David? Whatever the defense is.
I'm not talking about taking him out in critical situations. I'm talking about if you can get him off the field with
two series left
in a blowout, or you know, one series left in a loss, get him off the field.
Well, here's another problem. Although, in theory, I like what you're saying, Steve. But in practicality, another problem with that is, look at all the one-score games the Bucs were in. You're taking your best player on defense off the field? Yeah.
Well, look at all the ones they weren't in.
Not that many, were there?
If they play six games that weren't one-score games, and you can shave off seven snaps a game for them, that's 45 over a season. That's like a whole game.
Lee, I will say, he prides himself on being in great shape.
Sure. Now, is three-quarters of the games one-score games, is that high, or is that the norm?
That's high.
I'd want Lavonte on the field if it's a one-score game, because the risk is too high.
Bucks were 3-5 in one-score games last year, so that leaves
a little less than 50%.
That leaves nine games that were not one-score games.
Yep.
Again, if you can get Lavonte David off for one series in those games that aren't tight, it could help.
Nobody's arguing with your main point, Steve. Yeah, you know.
Then the game may be tight.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's at the end. I'm not talking second quarter. So, Ira, look, this training camp is here. We got Todd Bowles. We got questions. We're fired up.
When are we going to see the fans? What day of camp?
We see the fans on Thursday. Wednesday is the opening of training camp. Just an hour and a half practice, underwear football. But, you know, we'll write about it. We'll talk about it. We'll talk to people. We'll see if Baker Mayfield comes out talking to the media day one as, like, I'm the leader of the team and it runs through me, or if he waits a few days. That's always interesting to me when they decide to put the quarterback out there.
Who's going to get in first on Wednesday morning? Bucky Irving or Tom Moore?
Tom Moore.
Tom Moore or Todd Bowles?
I don't know about that. But what's wrong with Tom Moore's home?
Or the guy that cuts the grass.
Well, he can't cut grass in the middle of the night. That's not advisable. Mayfield was on part of my take this morning. He said he spams plays sometimes in two-minute drills, which I love. And I know you're not a video game guy. Neither am I. But I found out what spam means. Big Cat asked him, do you spam plays? Spam plays in video games, you have one play and the defense can't stop. And that's all you do is run that one play time and time and time
again. Why can't the defense make an adjustment?
I don't program video games. I'm sorry. So anyway, Big Cat asked Baker Mayfield, do you spam plays? And he said, in a two-minute drill, maybe. And I like that. You know why? What's my biggest thing? If something isn't broke, don't fix it. And if a play is working, keep going back to that play until they prove you can stop it.
That's right. Yeah. Make them prove it.
But, all right, Ira, look, we are marching in to One Buck Palace here. No donuts on your hands. You're looking good.
I want to see Hassan Reddick come in fully motivated on Wednesday and beating people to a pulp. That's what I want to see.
That would be cool, but you know what?
No pads.
Just come in week one and beat people up. That's all I care about.
Introduce yourself to Michael J. Penix in week one.
Oh, him, yeah.
Introduce yourself violently.
Violently.
And I'll start you off with a little cupcake. Give me
Ira, no pleasantries?
No.
Coach, good to see you.
Good to see you. Welcome back.
Big show, Ira. Come on,
Ira. Todd, give me one area specific in which you would like to improve yourself as a head coach and a couple of areas that the Bucks need to take as a group to get to the next level. A couple of areas they need to be on top of their game to get to the next level.
I think as a coach, it's never one area to improve. You always have to improve on everything. Obviously, defense, we need to play better. You want a coach to make decisions better, and they can go right or wrong that way. Understanding the offense, we want to get more turnovers. Just continuing to communicate with the players and make sure we're getting the best out of them and they're getting the best out of each other. So I can always improve on that as well.
You're going to change any relationships with your coaches, put more on their plate? Less on their plate.
They have more on their plate already. They have had it all spring, and they've responded well. So it's been a great chemistry that we've been working on.
How are you going to get along with Grizzard?
We get along great. Me and Grizz get along great. He's a very bright guy. He has a good understanding of what I want, and I know what he likes to do. And we have a good understanding as an offense of when to be smart and when not to be smart.
What signs have you gotten, Todd, because I know you talk to the guys that sign the checks on occasion. What general feelings have you gotten from them about how high their expectations are for this season?
Well, I'm sure as owners, everyone expects to win. They don't give you expectations, and they hear everything out, and they make the moves, and obviously they sign the checks of everybody here, but they've been very supportive, and more than anything else, rather than say, we expect this or we expect that. They never say that. They always are very supportive of what we do and understand and see the big picture. And we try to communicate. Me and Jason are very honest as far as us talking to them, and we have a good relationship. But they never give us expectations that
way.
But
it's a 10-7
team. Sure, it's a 10-7 team expecting to win. But 10-7 means nothing. It's year to year. I don't care if you win the Super Bowl the next year. You got to prove yourself over again, and we got to prove ourselves over again. But we got to be a lot better finishing out ball games.
I got to say, this is outrageous, Ira. No pleasantries, no how was your summer, coach?
Typical, Ira. Typical.
What is this? Congratulations on the new contract, coach.
Thank you.
There you go.
Give me one highlight of a Todd Bowles relaxation summer. Do you ever turn the film off for a day or two or three or no?
A relaxation summer away from work?
Sure.
7 o'clock in the morning, North Carolina. I'm in my Jeep. I got the top back. Hearing summer breeze by the Isley Brothers, and I'm just heading to Publix. That is a very great relaxation for me.
Nice.
Aisle six, baby.
Do people recognize you in North Carolina?
No, no one. No one. I wear a bunch of throwback NBA jerseys, like from high school, college to pro, from Sidney Moncrief to LeBron, and nobody bothers me.
Nice. Regarding the contract, was that something in the works, extension for a long time? Did that kind of just thrown at you? Are you a tough negotiator? How does that work?
I mean, it's been talked about, obviously, on both sides, and they've been great. I mean, they tore up me and Jason's contract, and we had 2 years left, so that was great on their part and very appreciative from me and Jason.
Nice.
Don, I'll hit you up with something Bucks fans are sweating over. I don't think it's as sinister as some fans are making it out to be. They're worried about Tristan Wirfs. They're like, oh, my gosh, it's four games, which I know nobody really knows until August 30th, if he gets put on the pup list or not. A lot of people are saying, oh, you know, the stinking medical staff, they misdiagnosed it, blah, blah, blah. And this is my perception of it. I don't think anybody wants to go under the knife. So your medical staff, which the Glazers pay handsomely to, and they've been good to you, I know, in the past, you trusted their advice. They probably thought, okay, we can do some rehab. He won't have to have surgery. Everything will be good. Tristan had setbacks. No one can predict setbacks. And then at one point, I guess Tristan said, you know what, let's just get this over with. Let's have the surgery. That way I know I'll be on the field for most of the season. Is that kind of how things shook out?
I can't say for verbatim that's how it shook out, but obviously there have been talks since the season ended and for it to heal, and they both decided, each other decided, that it was time to get the surgery done. Sometimes when you let things heal, they don't heal the right way. That's just part of it. That's just like going for it on fourth down. Either you get it or you don't. Either it heals or it doesn't. You have to get surgery. But there was great communication throughout, and Tristan's in great spirits right now. And if I was a betting man, I'd bet he'd be back sooner than later. And all we can do is get the next guys ready. It wouldn't be any different if he got hurt the first game of the season on the first play. You got to have somebody else ready to play. So we played with injuries a bunch last year. Unfortunately, it's one of our best players, but we've been without Mike. We've been without Chris. We've been without Vita. We've been without Cansey. We've been without Winfield. We've been without guys and gotten through. We've even played without Luke last year, and we had to have Schooley. So this would be a situation for Heck or someone else to step up at tackle and hold the fort till he gets back.
Tristan put out a video a couple of days ago on Instagram of him doing squats or something. When was that video shot?
I'm glad he didn't see it.
He didn't look too crippled.
I didn't see it, but I would feel better if you told me he put out a video jumping out of a pool on one leg. then I know he'd be close to being ready to play.
Coach, you said sooner rather than later. You think week one is still in play for Tristan, as we sit here?
That I cannot tell you. I just know he'll be ready sooner than later. I don't know if it's week one, two, three, whether it's anything.
He'll put the work in.
He'll definitely put the work in, so I don't have a problem with that.
Todd, you okay? You know, some people looking for holes in Mayfield's game. I keep saying the guy threw 41 touchdowns. What are you screaming about? They're looking at the interceptions. Can you live with the interceptions, or are you a little concerned about taking his aggressiveness away?
As a coach, you don't ever want to live with interceptions. That means you allow them and you're satisfied with them. But I'm very happy with the way he plays. Obviously, we can cut those in half. If we can still do that and still throw the 41 touchdowns and cut the interceptions in half, that's always critical for us.
I guarantee you're more concerned about the 7 interceptions that your boys got last year than the 16 that Mayfield threw. That 7's driving you crazy, isn't it?
7 and 16 drive me crazy.
7 and 16.
I don't want to throw them, and I want to get them. So it's selfish on both parts.
Morrison, Todd, Benjamin Morrison, who's now in the fold. Not that there was any question in your mind that he was going to be here. You look at him definitely as backup role as a rookie, or is this guy going to push the start?
He's pushing the starters, him and Parrish. Zion and Dean play very well. They're very good corners, but we have a lot of competition at corner, and camp will play out, and we will play the guy we feel deserves the start.
Coach, how can you soothe Ira when it comes to Jamel Dean? Because he
knows it.
He's in that camp of fans. We're not, but he is. Of, you know, Dean's not good enough. Get him out.
He's not a ball hawk. He's not a ball hawk.
Ira's finished with him. What's your response to that?
As much as I love Ira, and I do love Ira, I'm not coaching to please Ira. I understand what he's saying.
You wouldn't mind a few more picks. You wouldn't mind a few more picks.
From all of them. It's not just Jamel. Yeah. And linebackers as well. So we can do better getting off the field and playing better defense, getting turnovers. And, you know, we had a good spring. We just got to continue it in the summer and carry it over to the season.
Todd, I made this point a couple weeks ago, and I'm not harping on Baker's interceptions. However, I thought all the one-score games you were in and as good offense as you had, his picks were probably more profound than lack of picks on defense, because for quite possibly a score. You know, one of his picks, that's quite possibly a field goal. You're in one score games, that's a major difference.
Well, it's not just Baker. Obviously, it's blocking up front.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's got to get open. It's the play calling. We just got to do a better job and play smarter in certain situations in one score games. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the killer instinct. It doesn't have to mean go for the jugular and score. It means going for the jugular, calling the right play and doing the right things, and him not turning it over and everybody doing their job. So that's part of it. We wouldn't be where we were the last 2 years if it weren't for Baker.
Sure.
We wouldn't even be close. So, you know, this guy brings a lot to the table when it comes to the on-field and especially the off-field stuff as far as being a leader on this team. And everybody trusts him and rallies around him. and we're behind them 100%. So Baker's been great for us.
Here's something he said this morning, and pardon my take, or at least it was published this morning. Big Cat was asking him, hey, you know, did you have a successful season last year? You know, you won the division. You had good numbers. Baker flat out said, no. And he said, well, don't you want to win a division? He's like, you have certain check marks to make to have a successful season. We had a couple check marks, but we didn't make the Super Bowl. No, it was not successful.
Sounds like Todd Bowles.
I agree with that 100%. Winning the season, the division is just part of it. It's a check mark, and you want to win the playoff game, and you want to win the Super Bowl. We're not playing to just win the division and get knocked out in the first round. We're playing to try to get to the Super Bowl. So, no, it wasn't a successful season. I agree with him.
And he also said, you know, they asked him what happened in the playoffs. Offense, me, we made too many mistakes. We averaged 30 points a game. We didn't come close to that. And he just said it was flat out the offense. And lost to the Washington. He took full blame for that.
He did, but he didn't have to, and it was everybody involved. We win as a team. We lose as a team. Mm-hmm. We could have made stops okay. on defense. We could have played better on special teams. It was all inclusive.
Coach, what after all the offseason studying and all the steps you take, what's the difference, however subtle, in Todd Bowles this year?
Probably turning more over to our defensive coaches as far as what we want to do. We've been heavy run conscious on a lot of things, and we get easily 2-1 past the run. Obviously, we want to stop the run, but we want to be more aggressive in the passing game.
How does that manifest?
Whether it's stunting a little bit more, or it's not a matter of pressure in the quarterback, doing different drills, obviously, doing different drills, trying to get these guys off faster, changing technique a little bit and how they stand, how their stances are, and getting them off the ball quicker. So we're doing little things like that to try to speed them up and juice them up and get them going a little quicker.
Do you think that'll be hard for you, or is that something you've thought about or have done before and they're sort of bringing it back?
No, I've done it before. I mean, we've done it as a defense before. Obviously, it comes in terms of pressures, but it's no different when you're not pressuring, of how you get off the ball and understanding where everybody has to be. So these guys understand that. They did a good job working on it in the spring.
With the defensive coaches, when it comes to player rotations and substitutions, are your position coaches making those decisions as to who's rotating in or who's fresh and who's not? How does that work?
Well, we meet on it and we talk about it. We know who has to do what, and we understand a certain percentage of plays. The heavy rotation has been in the defensive line. So obviously Vita and Cansey take the bulk of the snaps, and then Logan, but we need guys that can come in and sub and get a good 15 to 20 plays in after that. Obviously not having Golston here this year, there's some guys that's going to have to step up, and we're looking at the linebacker position as well to keep those guys fresh all year. So we're just trying to do little things to make those guys fresher in the fourth quarter.
What difference can a healthy Antoine Winfield Jr. make on this defense?
When Winfield's healthy, he's one of the best players on the field. You know, there was nothing wrong with him last year. He just couldn't get healthy, obviously, but he had a great spring. He's a sharp guy. You're going to see the same playmaking ability and effort from that guy that you've seen from day one. He's healthy right now. We look forward to him going into the season having a bounce back year.
Any regrets at all, Todd, about maybe putting him on the field a couple of times when he shouldn't have been out there?
No, he was healthy. I mean, he was healthy. Well, you know, one time was friendly fire. So, you know, you can't do anything about that when your own guy hits you and puts you down. But we're just happy to have him out there, and we think it'll be a big difference for us.
How do you feel, Todd? How do you feel when you hear Buck fans, or you read Buck fans, or Mike comes over and said, hey, have you heard this from Buck fans about why are they 10 yards away from the receiver? What's going on with Bowles' defense? Does that drive you crazy, or is it too simplistic to look
no,
at it like that?
There's a lot more going on than just the corner play. We had a lot of people hurt last year, and you have to protect certain people and not to expose certain people. And you're looking at the totality of the defense. Certain things were necessary to do. Certain times they can go up and play more. Well, they were young coming around. But, you know, in the second half of the season, I thought they bottled down pretty good and they competed. And we got a lot better going forward that way. But we want to be a press defense and get up in your face a little more. And if we can keep people healthy, we'll be able to do that.
To be fair, Todd, not a lot of balls went over your head last year. I don't think that was a big problem.
They didn't. Our problem last year was tackling. There were too many missed tackles. The 5-yard catches went.
Yes.
The only game we really tackled well in was Detroit. you know, after that, we missed the 5 and 3 yard catches. Went for.
Do I have to remind you of the game in Atlanta, Todd? That just drove you crazy.
You have to remind me about any game I've been here watching and seeing, win, lose, or draw.
Speaking of the Atlanta game, you and I talk about that game at Atlanta, the primetime game.
His favorite subject.
Now, Todd, because I was at that game, and I just, you know, can't somebody get Cousins off his spot? I mean, come on, the guy can't move. Well, anyway, you, sir, have lost four, as the team has lost, the team has lost 4 out of the last 5 against Atlanta. And I know that's driving you nuts since you became the head coach, including the sweep last year. How important is it to make a little bit of a statement in week one?
It's important because it's a division game. You know, the division games don't mean a lot early, but they weigh in a lot at the end when it comes down to tiebreakers and everything else. It's an early game, won't mean as much week one, but week 14, 15, it starts meaning something. So it's really important because they kind of count for a game and a half when you play a division game. So it's important to get off to a good start.
Coach, in the offseason, do you think there's anything, any way that you can coach with more urgency than you already have? And I just say that from the standpoint of, is that a change that you're making? Is there any way to heighten the urgency to get guys ready for primetime games or games after a bye or whatever it might be? Is there any way that you've discovered to maybe jack that up a little bit?
Depends on the pulse of the team, the health of the team, what part of the season it is for the team. I mean, we're up and we're urgent every game. That part of it, I think it's the wrong word, urgency, from that standpoint. We're ready to play every week.
Sure.
We just got to finish at the end. If you get a bye early, you know, you're going to have to lighten up late, get these guys ready, and it's going to be some walkthroughs. If you get a bye late, you got to get the season started off early, and the time changes are just part of in-game adjustments. It's sudden change that happens in football. Whether we play at 1, 4, 9, or 8, it's going to be a sudden change for us. So we have to understand that. We have to get our proper rest. We got to understand when the meetings go too long, when to let them out and get breaks on. And the pulse of the team is important for me and the rest of the coaches to have a very good pulse and feel for the team so we can make the necessary changes when they come up.
And when you were talking about the defensive coaches and them having a little bit more input or things that they want to do, is some of that with the tackling drills specifically in practice? Is there anything related to tackling with that as far as prepping for the season?
Yeah, it's all inclusive. Whether we're tackling, even when we can't tackle, we got to get in position to tackle. We got to be at the right angle. We got to take the right steps. We got to know where our help is. And everybody's got to be flying to the ball. That's just part of effort. The players can control that. And the leaders are doing a good job policing that.
What's bugging you more about the fourth quarter? The offense not cashing in and maybe a 4-minute drill when you have the lead, or the defense not getting off the field in the fourth quarter? What are you focused more on?
My biggest thing is when we have a lead and the defense eases up. You know, prevent doesn't have to be prevent. You still have to make plays. You still have to go after the quarterback. You still have to get him off the field. It's not so much as executing when we need to, because we can do that. I think when we get a lead and we take our foot off the gas and we give up meaningless yards, or we just go total conservative offensively, and even if they don't get back in, there's a chance for them to get back in the game. We need to stomp on people and close them out when we get those type of leads.
So, Coach, Lee brought up Tristan Wirfs. So what do the fans need to know? What do you want them to know about Chris Godwin's situation and where he sits right now?
Again, Chris is in the same situation as Tristan. He's working his way back. He's working his way back. He had a procedure. He's feeling well. He's in good spirits, and he's working his way back. And, you know, when I see more and he does more, I'll have more news. But right now there's no update on him. But Chris hopefully will be back very soon, and I can't tell you when, but he's in good spirits, and he's moving around, and he's getting going, and he's ramping up.
Has he had any kind of setback in any way, or he's just moving in the right direction?
He's moving in the right direction.
Obviously, you have reports we're not privy to. You've got tape on him. Is week one still in play for him?
Right now, yes.
How are you going to manage Bucky Irving's workload, Todd, knowing that he's a special player?
He's a very special player, and his workload is probably as much as he can handle. Obviously, we have plays for Rashad as well as Sean, and you know, we got 3 capable backs that can do some things, but if he gets rolling, obviously you let him go. He's a lot more mentally smarter this year, learning the whole scheme and the entire scheme, so he understands the offense a lot better. So he's gonna play, and then Rashad will come in and play, and then we'll try to get Sean in there and play some as well. But we're not gonna manage him. We're gonna let him go. He's got young legs. We're gonna let him run.
When did you realize what you had with Irving?
We saw that early. We saw it early, but he didn't have a whole grasp of the entire offense. But he was always making the first guy miss. And he's
and
still
White,
doing
White
that.
Does that too. I mean,
White does
catching
a hell of a job. Yeah. He does a hell of a job making the first guy miss. They both have very good stop, cut, start directional type of moves. And they both do it very well. And it's a good 1-2 punch. So, you know, we're going to keep riding that.
Your screens running backs were very good last year. Was it because it was Bucky and Rashad, or was it the blocking, or just Mayfield knowing how to execute the play? What was the secret sauce there?
Well, we had some pretty good receivers, number one, that kind of threatened you down the field, and it was the offensive line. And obviously, anytime you put the ball in Rashad and Bucky's hand in space, they can do a lot with it and make the first guy miss and go. So it was a combination of all the above, and the offense was really clicking last year.
When I'm not chopping down Jamel Dean, Todd.
And when is that?
Here's the other thing that I drive these two guys crazy with. Tell me if I'm off base, Todd. The way the game is now and the officiating, I say you got to throw deep 4 or 5 times a game. You got to do it. And I don't care who you're throwing to, Palmer or anybody. And it could be your first-round pick. But to me, even if you complete 1 out of 5, you might get a flag or two and a couple go incomplete. I mean, did you throw deep enough last year? Is that going to change? Or what do I got wrong about that in terms of taking chances downfield?
I think we did threw deep down the middle and across the field. I don't think we threw deep as far as your traditional fade route for Mike is concerned. They probably doubled them more and took some things away. It's not like we didn't have them dialed up, but every team should go down the field 5 or 6 games, and they all dialed up to do that. It's just a matter of whether the ball comes out or not.
You probably have the updated stats, but 2, maybe 3 years ago, Evans led the league in drawing defensive interference penalties.
He did. Anytime he's single, you know, there's a good chance he's going to make a play or he's going to draw an interference penalty. We got to get the ball up to him more. Now, he saw a lot more double coverage, especially when Chris went down, you know, so that had a lot to do with it as well. But we still need to find ways to get the ball up to him.
Boy, Godwin was playing fantastic when he got hurt, wasn't he,
really
Todd?
He really was.
Coach, Evans in 2022, I think he averaged about 61 snaps for each game that he played. 2 years ago, it was about 50, 51, and then it was down last year for each game he played to like 47, 48. Is there an effort to preserve him? And can you kind of contrast whereas Lavonte David, he never comes off the field, even if you guys are winning by 2 scores at the end of a game?
Past 2 years, Mike's had a hamstring a little bit here and there that he's hurt in camp. So you got to kind of preserve him some. And Mike kind of runs deep every play. Lavonte doesn't run deep as much.
Right.
Now, he's around more of the contact more than Mike is, but he's in great shape. We expect his plays to be where they are and be up there and be high. We expect a great year from him, and he's putting in the work, and I expect a great year from him just like he expects a great year from himself. So it's hard to compare what Mike has to do and what Lavonte has to do. Sometimes Lavonte takes 3 shuffle steps when he's at the play. Mike,
it's tough for you to take 54 off the field, isn't it, Todd? It's tough.
It's tough for us to take him off the field. It's tough when everybody was hurt last year, so it made it tough. He's a great football player. You don't take great football players off the field, Mike. In other words, you run about 3 or 4 go routes in a row, you're going to need a breather.
Sure.
So he's going to come off the field a little bit.
Fourth down. A lot of fans are dialed into fourth down. The Bucs, I think, were 31st in the league on going for it on fourth down. But you guys had a very good success rate on fourth down. I think a lot of fans think that the new clock management, game management guru means that, oh, but they're going a lot more on fourth down. But couldn't it go the other way? Whereas if the defense is a lot better, all of a sudden you become a little bit more conservative on fourth down sometimes?
Yeah, we were aggressive on fourth down when we had the opportunities. The fourth downs, we probably didn't go for a 4th and 10 or either backed up in minus territory. Once we crossed midfield, as long as it was like 7-6 or less, there were plenty of times we did go for it.
Yeah.
We were probably limited in the times we had to go for it or not, but we tried to be more aggressive last year. We'll try to be more aggressive this year. Situation obviously has to be there to present itself to do that, and we'll continue to monitor that going forward.
You feeling any extra pressure about this being the 50th year of Buck football, Todd?
No.
Coach, did you see the video?
I covered him year one, Todd. I'm all 50.
You should be feeling pressure.
Coach, did you see the video of Simeon Rice and Yaya working together? Did you see the whole thing?
I didn't see the whole thing. I saw part of it, and I hear it went very well, and he's a great one to learn from.
I don't know how much you saw, but it almost seemed like Yaya saw things with Simeon there that he'd never seen before. Is that possible?
I see all of it. Okay. It's possible. Simeon got a lot of, he got a lot up his sleeve.
You going to try to get him here more often?
I'd love to have him around.
I mean, he's a unique individual. So.
Most football players are.
Okay. Coach, if from all that you saw of Emeka Egbuka, who to our amateur eyes looked phenomenal in the spring, is he ready to start if Chris can't go? Is he at that level? Does he look? Because most first-round pick receivers are walking right into a starting job. Is he NFL ready to go?
He's a very intelligent player. He will be ready to go. Obviously, there's some things he's got to learn offensively and some things he has to see. But his maturity, his intelligence, and his toughness shows us that he'll be ready to go.
Did you have to be sold on Reddick, Todd? Did you and Jason have to talk you into it based on that nightmare year in New York?
No, not at all. I mean, you understand he sat out half the year, so he wasn't going to come in fresh. He missed a lot of time, you know, and we had inside information with Coach Ross, who has inside information for him. So it was real easy for us to sign him.
And you knew how motivated he would be?
Absolutely.
Now, I heard stories, and, for example, I was talking with Anthony Nelson, and Anthony Nelson said Reddick came in with cut-ups. Like, here's some moves that work for guys. Doesn't do it for me. Maybe it'll help you out. And then we heard Steve, who'd you hear from? Randy Barber said the same thing. Did he actually do that, coming in with cut-ups, and he was showing – you know, some of his new teammates' moves that other guys can do and say, hey, maybe this will work for you.
He did. He's a very good team player. He's a very good leader. He not only plays well himself, he helps other guys and brings them along. And that's been an added bonus for us when we got him coming in here, and that was great to see. So, you know, he trains 24 hours a day, and wow, he always comes to work in shape and everything else and helps everybody out. That can't do nothing but help us.
So, Coach, are you going to scream, I'm excited? I mean, training camp's here? Or is that, was that
does
one
he,
and
does
done?
Does he look like he's ready to give you an I'm excited over here?
Jenna's not here, so there's nobody to scare. You guys are not going to scare with that. We'll come up with something.
That's fine. That's fine.
We'll see.
We still got a couple days to go.
We got a couple days.
You got a final,
couple days.
Final question
how
you want to grill the coach
on? How do you feel about your coaching career, where it is right now? After the Jets experience and now running off these division titles, winning a playoff game, winning 10 games, winning one more game each of the last 2 years than the year before. That doesn't sound like a lot, but not a lot of teams do that. How you feeling about what you're doing out there?
In my eyes, I can always be better. You know, I'm not going to look back on my coaching career until I'm retired and I'm done. And I think if you start looking at your career, you're already retired and you're heading for the door. There are a lot of things that I'm still learning. There are a lot of things I want to be better at as far as overall, and that'll never stop. And whether it's watching 7-on-7 on TV or watching high school games or college games or different techniques, I'm always trying to be better as a coach from a game management standpoint as well as a scheme standpoint. So I think I learned something. And I get better every year. That helps me from a patient standpoint. That's probably always going to be something that I will never stop learning about. But I feel like I need to change schematically every 2.5 years because the game changes. And it affects the way you draft. It affects the way you call things. It affects the way the coaches teach things. And that changes a lot, whether it's the run and shoot offense or the RPO or the zone read or the I formation. The defenses from cover 2, the zone pressure to cover 3, that all that changes all the time. So I think I've been able to adapt some years very well. Some years it was up and down. But overall, you try to stay ahead of the curve and try to make plays and make calls and coach and stay ahead of everything that you see coming down the pipe. So still yet to be determined.
Were there times in your private moments where you wondered, would you ever get another shot?
No, I know. I never tried to be a head coach when I started coaching. I wanted to be the best coach I could be. And at the time, I was a defensive back coach. And it graduated to a coordinator. I wanted to be the best coordinator in the league. And it graduated to a head coach. And I want to be the best head coach in the league. So that comes with winning, obviously. That comes with understanding what you have on the team and how to use your pieces. And obviously, you need luck with everybody staying healthy and all those type of things. So you work towards that.
All right, Coach, we're out of time. We rang the bell a couple of minutes ago. Do you have any advice for Ira as he enters his 50th year as a news reporter?
I think Ira should have a sit-down dinner with Jamele Dean, and they should exchange roses.
They should.
And kiss and make up, and I think all will be well.
May I suggest Burns?
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, so that's Todd Bowles sitting here at One Buck Palace on late on Monday. Very kind of the coach to sit with us, of course. It's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford dealerships, BillCurryFord.com. Do not miss these incredible July offers. No payments for 90 days, Ira, and there's many on top of that. BillCurryFord.com. Get there today. And our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, you have to be ready for any disaster. Get to their website. That's the first step. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Understand what they do, what they can do for you, so you know who to call when that disaster strikes. You don't want to call your friend and say, do you know a guy? You want to call Florida's Elite Restoration. Get your free inspection immediately. Ira, your impressions of Todd Bowles? Two quick takeaways?
I think we just sat with a man whose ego is under control, which isn't always the case among 32 NFL head coaches.
Well, that's an understatement.
But at the same time, Lee, I think there's a streak of self-confidence. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't think he's overmatched out there, even though some Bowles skeptics think he is.
But he also thinks he can get better.
And always striving to get better. I thought maybe laying a little bit more responsibility on his defensive coaches, that was a little bit of a surprise for me, Lee. And again, it shows that Bowles isn't like it's my way or the highway. That's sort of like a Bruce Arians characteristic that he's learned from Arians. Trust your coaches.
I never got that impression from Arians. I always got the impression with this is the way we do it. Because remember, he always said, why didn't you keep Todd Monken why didn't you bring some whatever? Why are you getting these old guys in there? I don't have to coach him up. So I never got that impression with Arians. With Bowles, and I always got the impression with Bowles, he wasn't, like you said, stuck in his ways. This is the way we did it with Parcells, with Dungy. Oh, this is the way we did it in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Well, you don't have the Steelers. You don't have the 76 Steelers. So that's always been a breath of fresh air when a coach can flat out come out and say, with a degree of sincerity, I could do better. I'm always trying to learn. I have to change things up.
Steve, I thought it was interesting when I asked him about his critics saying, what's with the playing off 10 yards off the line of scrimmage?
That was a great answer.
And he basically is saying, Steve, he had to protect people.
Because there were a lot of injuries.
Because of injuries. You buying it?
Well, he chose to protect people. That was his decision. Didn't seem to work too well.
And the insinuation is that could change this year.
Well, you would hope it would, but, a lot of fans and, the screenshots are available, social media during a game.
It was what it was, right?
It was what it was years ago. You saw Carlton Davis playing off at times and Dean and big cushions, and hopefully it'll be tighter. It's unclear whether Bowles tells a guy, play 4 yards off or 8 yards off, or he tells him, you use your judgment, but we don't like the judgment. It's clear Bowles has a tighter mentality this year.
Yeah.
Did it sound like Lavonte David's coming off the field?
No. No, it didn't. What'd you make of the Glazers? He said that they tore up his contract.
2 years.
2 years left. He confirmed that he had two years left.
And Light, too.
And Jason Light. They tore it up and gave them brand new contracts. Not extensions, necessarily. Brand new deals.
First of all, he's very appreciative. There's no question about that. I think that's a big confidence boost, Lee, from the guys that signed the checks. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to do it, right?
Yeah.
They didn't have to do it. They're aware of the ambivalence of some of Buck Nation towards Bowles,
mm-hmm.
whereas you and I think, basically say the guy wins 10 games. Lay off him a little bit.
It could be better, and it could be a whole lot worse. But here's the thing about the contracts. You and I, Ira, we've mentioned this before, and this drives fans bananas. And I get it, but the Glazers really appreciate the culture that Bowles has built. Now, culture doesn't mean a damn thing if you're losing. So he's built a good culture here, as has Jason.
And he's winning.
He may not be winning enough, but he's winning, and he's built the culture that the Glazers are proud of. And at the end of the day, it's their team. So I think that plays a lot into it.
Chris Godwin doesn't sound good, Ira.
No, it doesn't look like he's losing any sleep over it. Now, that's not a knock on Godwin, who might have been the best receiver in football last year.
Well, it's also July. You're not going to start crying. And you were a winning team last year without Chris Godwin.
I think he might feel a little different if they hadn't drafted Egbuka. So that's a big X factor.
Could that be the reason? And you guys talked to him at the owner's meeting. I wasn't there. But in retrospect, it was obviously he was talking about Egbuka. Yeah, he wants to get an offensive player, got to score points. You think part of the reason why he's not torn up about Godwin because of Egbuka?
I think he's very curious to see what this kid can do on the field. All the results are positive, but in the underwear football world of Lee DeKemper. We can't make any judgments. But that's what training camp's for. That's what training camp's
for. Now, what I thought was interesting, and we did not ask him during our off-the-record chat. It was on my list, but we ran out of time off the microphone. He mentioned that Kevin Ross, the cornerback's coach, was the guy who had the intel on Hassan Reddick,
that's right.
Why we're not worried about the Jets. But it's Larry Foote, the outside linebacker's coach, who's friends with Reddick, and that relationship has been talked about. Do you think Coach made a mistake when he said Ross, like said the wrong name?
Maybe Ross has a connection, too.
Maybe Ross has a good friend on the Jets staff.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but that was interesting.
Yeah, he definitely said Ross. Yeah. There's no question about it. So basically what he's saying is we did our homework on Reddick.
Mm-hmm. They were confident. They were very confident in him.
Very confident. Ira, we sat in front of a head coach who, very calm, he looked a little tired. You know, fans set the stage
a little bit. How about his day at Publix in North Carolina?
He starts at 3:15. We're catching him, you know, deep.
12 hours later.
Yeah,
that's
12 plus hours later.
See, how about walking the aisles of Publix? I didn't even know Publix was in North Carolina.
In a Sidney Moncrief throwback jersey.
Yeah, Sidney Moncrief.
Yeah,
wow.
You know, now Bowles did tell us off the microphone. He did some other things this offseason that were a little more spicy than Publix in North Carolina.
Especially for Todd Bowles' image.
Yeah, exactly. But which was interesting. But, he, you know, very confident guy. But he's been like that the last couple of years. Very cool, confident. And
hey, we want to thank the Buck organization for helping this thing happen.
Of course, yes. Who was the singer he said he was listening to?
The Isley Brothers.
Was it the Isley Brothers?
Not the Allman Brothers. The Isley Brothers. They made the original Twist and Shout before the Beatles copied it. Twist and Shout, Lee. Come on now.
So the Arians thing, though, you
this
brought that up.
This old heart of mine.
I always thought Arians handed off to his assistants as well because he was notorious for saying, I'm leaving at 5. You guys can stay late if you want to.
I thought
to.
He did, Lee. Yeah. I thought Arians put a lot of stock in his assistants. Yeah, I thought he did.
Especially Bowles because he pretty much said, I'm not coaching without Todd, you know, because Arians was happy to say he was hands-off on the defense, you know, like your Dirk Cutter almost.
He's not happy with the way they're finishing games. It's been a common theme, Lee. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, a couple of years ago, the big problem was slow starts, which happened for several years. Yeah. Not under Brady, necessarily, but maybe Brady's last year it started, maybe. Now they start pretty well offensively. They start. They score.
Excellently, yeah.
But in the fourth quarter, he can't stand giving up a fourth quarter lead. He can't stand.
Didn't he hint that when the offense played well, the defense was kind of slacking in the fourth quarter?
A little bit, but he didn't absolve the offense either in the fourth quarter.
No.
He said they take their foot off the gas. We've seen that a few times. Mm-hmm. We've seen it.
Yeah, you know, I wonder, Ira, you know, maybe depth will help him get a little tougher, like pulling guys out of a game if he's seeing bad tackling or whatever, but you have to have the backups to be able to do that.
Boy, he talked about tackling, Lee, and we talk about it a lot.
It's a pet peeve of mine.
Guys spinning around, and I think it's more the receiver doing it, right, than the running back.
I just think it's just general bad tackling in the NFL. I'm finally starting to come around to Pat Kerwin. I've been railing against Kerwin. I thought was weak excuses like, oh, they don't practice enough. You practice tackling every practice. But Bowles told me one time, you can't practice a Derrick Henry's stiff arm if you're not in pads.
Did you sense any kind of a change in philosophy? Look, they're always going to say we got to stop the run first. But I don't know. He said a couple of things they're throwing against us two-thirds of the time, which they are.
Sure.
Which they are.
Well, that's because you're
part of it is part of it is because they're having success,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Defense stinks. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that. I don't know. I'm not sure Todd Bowles said very much, Ira. I'm going to have to go back and listen. Some stuff there at the end when he was talking about his adjustments and things like that.
I thought was really interesting.
It was very interesting.
About when he talked about when you make adjustments as a coach. You know, like you said, you got to make adjustments every couple of years, otherwise you catch up.
Yeah.
But when you do make those changes, you have to change personnel. You have to change your draft because you're not looking for the same type of player. I thought that was very interesting.
And, you know, you have to stick with them as well. You can't just make adjustments and then give it 2 weeks when you plan these adjustments for a whole season. It's going to be a very interesting year. He didn't address the pressure of these primetime games, any tweaks, Todd? Are you figure anything out that you want to do?
He didn't say we're going to step on Atlanta's neck, Penix's neck in week one.
And he's done an amazing job getting the team ready for week one. They're 3-0 under him against solid opponents, but fall off in those primetime games, he's got to find a fix.
Ivor was a brave man, almost reckless. Todd Bowles gave this awesome opportunity, and one of Ivor's first questions, he starts grilling him about his record against the Falcons.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
You've like, lost four brave, out of five,
you're
Todd.
You're a brave man, Ira.
You know, I'm not willing to go to Isbitz's territory about a must-win game in week one. However, Lee, it's a big game. It's a big game because I don't want Atlanta thinking they can hang with this team.
It's not a minor game, but I just cannot. I cannot even go near.
You want to week slap one McKay in the face a little bit in week one and show Arthur Blank who's boss?
It's just specifically, as I see it, for this team, where they are, after being 3-0 with Todd Bowles, after losing all these.
Swept by Atlanta.
You got to go up there and win. If you can't win that, should anybody think you can win the next week? Realistically,
as we
sit here.
And Houston's got a damn good pass rush.
And then you're 0-2, and you're coming back with a loss of confidence. You got the Jets in Philly.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No, you got to win the game. Go beat Atlanta. They can do it. Ira, on a personal level.
On a personal level. I don't even like the way this
He admitted this that he said that he loves you. You hear that he said, I love Ira. Didn't he say that?
I believe he did. But he wants to get me together with Jamel Dean and iron this, our differences out.
About 2 minutes after he said how he loved you, then you start grilling him about his record against the Falcons.
You're right. It never stops, Lee. My ornery side never it takes over.
I could have topped that if it was said Mayfield's 1-7 in night games. But I didn't want to.
And you didn't hit him up with the primetime record, Steve.
Well, he knows the record. I don't like to tell the coach anything he already knows. That's sort of my style.
Are we coming out Wednesday in force? Are we?
We'll be here. I don't have any final thoughts on Bowles I have to think about. I got to go to the videotape.
Yes,
we'll talk
you do.
Next podcast, some of the nuggets that were here that we need to think more about.
You tried to tweak him by saying, Yaya Diaby looked like he was hearing things that he had never heard before from any Buck coaching staff. He wouldn't nibble on
he
that.
He didn't watch the video. He said he didn't watch the whole thing. So,
but he wanted Simeon here more.
Yeah. Yeah. Lee, you have a final thought on Todd Bowles here, the state of Todd Bowles?
Although he looked tired, he also looked relaxed. You know, it's not yet the brutal midseason grind. You could tell he had fun in North Carolina. You could tell he had fun in a place we can't speak of. But he's in a good mood. You know, football's here.
You saying goodbye to Bucks fans?
I'm going to say goodbye, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
You're giving me the go-away finger. What is that?
I got to ask Lee a personal question.
All right. We're out.